We're going to continue this morning talking about our King. And my name is Kirk, and for those of you that are here for the first time, especially want to welcome all of you. We are in the middle of, and actually the end now, of a series that we've been doing with dozens, perhaps hundreds, I haven't gotten an exact count of the number of churches across southeastern Michigan that have been doing this series called Go Fish. And it's been a really exciting part of each, everyone a chance to hear, and many of you, if not all of you, remember last year the two-word story and the t-shirts and the buttons and the various things. They all launched this week. It's time to restart. Because once again, we find ourselves in the midst of a very important time of year where people are talking about Jesus. People are asking questions about Jesus. People are, maybe for the only time of the year, next Sunday, going to church, going to a church, going to a church building. It's a time when life begins, when spring arrives, when there's this talk about new life. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday and what all the significance of Easter is. But we've been talking about, what does it mean for us to really prepare for this time of year? What does it mean for us to be faithful to a King who says, go and make disciples? His last command, his most important command, arguably, other than love God and love your neighbor, was to go and make disciples. And so for the last few weeks, we've talked about what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to go? And we first of all looked at why. Why in the world would we go? Why are we to fish? We are a church on mission because we serve a God who is on mission, and He invites us to join Him in His mission. It's the most incredible mission available, the most incredible, most difficult, most dangerous mission, but also the most satisfying and the most rewarding because the stakes are eternal. We looked last week at where do we fish, and we said very rarely, I was inclined to say never, but I was corrected, very rarely do fish jump into the boat, at least the fish that you want to eat or enjoy. Very rarely do they just hop in the boat. Very rarely do we just sit at home playing video games and expect that all of a sudden people are going to just pound on our doors saying, tell me about Jesus, I want to follow this King. And we said we have to go. And the great thing is most of us are pretty mobile in our culture. We go places. We have cars and we have buses and bicycles. We can even go and travel to other parts of the world on our computer screens and reach out to people thousands of miles away. And today we're looking at how. How do we fish? So before we dive in, let's just pause and pray. Jesus, I pray, our great King, that You would teach us how to fish. You would show us what it means for us to join You in Your work. It's not about us doing our thing and asking You to bless it. It's all about the invitation that You give us to join You in the work that You're already doing. And I pray that the words in my mouth and the meditations in my heart would please You, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Luke chapter 10 today, and if you have your Bibles, whether paper or electronic, I would invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10. It's the 10th chapter in the book of Luke, which is after Luke 9. And you will find that after the Gospels of Matthew and Mark in the beginning of the New Testament. Incidentally, following Easter, we're going to do a very exhaustive and not exhausting, but an exhaustive series on the Gospel of John. And I'm really, really excited about that. The word gospel literally means good news. And we have the opportunity to share good news. It says in Luke 10, He told them, we should probably stop. Who's them? In this case, it happened to be 72 followers of His. Jesus in Luke chapter 9 had sent out the 12 and said, you saw Me do all this stuff, it's your turn, you go. And now He comes to a whole other group of people, another group of followers that He had chosen and said, follow Me. 72 people. And He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go. There's that word again. Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now this morning, I just want to make six observations, just six simple observations about this very important passage where Jesus is telling his followers, go fish. These are the instructions to go fish. I'm not much of a fisherman. In fact, other than goldfish and Swedish fish, I'm really not good at catching fish. You can laugh or just work with me here. Work with me. I know some of you are like, bring us Swedish fish and we'll laugh at your really bad humor. For those of you that weren't here, we had Swedish fish 2 weeks ago. There might be some under some chair somewhere. Help yourself. But I digress. Fishing requires skill. It requires creativity. It requires bait. And I've been even told that you actually need different types of bait and different approaches for different types of fish. In fact, there's two very, very different types of fishing I've discovered. One, you have to be very, very still and very quiet, and you cast your reel, and you just wait for that fish to bite. This is the kind of fishing that I grew up watching in movies and TV and trying a couple times myself. But then there's a completely different type that I never even heard of until I watched this movie called A River Runs Through It. And this involved taking a completely different kind of equipment and such and like throwing this thing out and waving around and throwing stuff in the air and fly fishing. I still don't get that. Have any of you been fly fishing? Roy, have you been fly fishing? Despise it. You're old school. I've never been fly fishing. Scott's done it. Any others? A few of you. Okay. So maybe take me sometime. I'll try anything once. But it's a different type of approach, right? There's not a one size fits all. Some of you in this whole series, you're going, this is all about that E word, isn't it? This is like a guilt trip series on evangelism, and I'm supposed to go door to door and knock and ask people, like, pray this prayer or read this track or do this one size fits all thing. Jesus really doesn't get into a formula with all this. He just gives some basic principles and says, I want you to go, and I want you to go fishing. So, let's dive in. First thing, the need is great. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. The need is so great, friends. I don't know if you know, I don't know if you heard. This week, it's estimated that the 7 billionth person was born on our planet. We're up to 7 billion. That's with a B. That's like filling Michigan Stadium a lot of times. You know, at this very moment, despite all of our technology, despite 2,000 years of the message of Jesus Christ going across every part of the planet, there are millions, if not billions of people today that have no clue who Jesus is. It's not that they've rejected him. It's not that they've turned away from him. It's that they don't have a clue. They have no idea he even exists. And this idea of going fishing is not so much to go and force yourself upon people and, like, require every person you know to get in the boat. Or the net. But it is about offering an invitation. It's inviting people into relationship with Christ and ultimately letting them make that decision. Whether they choose to follow the king or follow the king that they see in the mirror every day. Before Jesus sends out the 70, he tells them to pray for more workers because the need is so great. And I look around this room and I see a lot of great workers. I see a lot of great fishermen and women and kids. Can everyone in this room together reach 7 billion people? Probably not. So we need to pray for more. We need to fish, but we need to pray for more people to join us in fishing as well. The second thing, the mission is going to be dangerous. Now, this is the one you don't hear about much in church because we're all about Jesus being making us safe and comfortable, right? There's this whole thing, the safest place to be is the center of God's will. No, friends. The most dangerous, radical, risky, adventurous thing you can possibly do with your life is to follow Jesus with reckless abandon. I've said this before, but I'll say it again because I get so amped about it. I get angry when I hear people talk and act about Christians being boring. If you are a boring Christian, you cannot possibly be following Jesus. Because the mission is dangerous. It is filled with risk and danger. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. I don't know if you've ever seen a lamb and a wolf together. Anyone? You won't see them together for very long. It's a dangerous mission that we're being sent on. John Piper recently made this observation. He said, brothers are being beheaded for what we believe. The difference is location. Oh Lord, make us real. Right now, our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world are being beheaded because of their faith. They're being jailed because of their faith. For 2,000 years, people have been tortured and murdered because of following the King. So if someone sold you a bill of goods that following Jesus is going to make your life safe and happy, they told you an outright lie. Jesus said, they killed me, they can kill you. It is radical, it is countercultural to follow Jesus, and every day, particularly in this country, it gets harder and harder and harder. Because the world gets darker and darker and darker. But the cool thing is, the light shines brighter and brighter and brighter. C.S. Lewis said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what the world is. Oh, that God would give us courage to join Him on this dangerous mission. May the Holy Spirit give us courage and boldness. Third thing, the mission will require dependency on the Holy Spirit. He said to the people, don't take your purse or bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. I might say, that's really strange. No, today He would say, don't take your iPod, your iPhone, your laptop, don't take any of your toys. Don't even take your wallet, your purse, your Visa card. Just leave it all. You're going radical on this mission. You need me and nothing else. They had to fully rely on God. Some of you have heard this little frog thing, right? Fully rely on God. Do we? I mean, when is the last time that you truly said, God, I'm desperate for you. I need you. If you don't come through, I'm totally toast in this situation. It doesn't happen a whole lot for us in this culture. How many of you have prayed for daily bread, realizing that if God doesn't come through, you're not going to eat today? We're just blessed with so much stuff. We're desensitized to the fact that we need God. And on this mission and going fishing, if you try to go without God, it's like going fishing without bait, without a pole, without anything. Last week we talked about the breastplate prayer, and we said that we need to pray for different people in our lives. That prayer does something that we can never do on our own. The Holy Spirit moves in amazing ways and changes the hearts of people. I can't change someone's heart. I can barely change my own heart, but the Holy Spirit, as we pray for people, begins to prepare them for an encounter with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, friends, there's nothing more exciting than realizing that you're having a conversation with someone that's waited their whole life to just hear an invitation to follow the King. This week I heard some great stories about people this past week that got in the boat. About fish that were caught, about people that surrendered their lives to Christ, about people, because of this church and people in this church, have hope and peace and joy. Did anyone hear what I just said? Fishing in this case is a God thing. We partner with God, but we are privileged to participate. We cast the line and He supplies the fish. S.D. Gordon said, the great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who can explain prayer, but I mean those people who take time and pray. They have not time. It must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and less pressing than prayer. Or to quote Bill Hybels, are you too busy not to pray? The next step is to look for receptive people. And this is one of those strategic things that a lot of times people overlook when they go fishing. Jesus said, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. He says, find a key person. And a person of peace is a man or woman who God has sovereignly prepared to receive the gospel message. Jesus used this approach with Zacchaeus, with Matthew, with the Samaritan woman. He found people and he realized, if I get this one guy, I get all their friends. If I catch this one fish, I get the whole school. I remember years ago, a good friend of mine, Steve Andrews, was starting a church called Kensington Community Church. Maybe some of you have heard of it. It's up in Troy and now actually has numerous campuses and reaches thousands of people. And when Kensington Community Church was basically Steve and Paula and their children, and they were kind of recruiting a team, he tells a story about one particular guy that he developed a relationship with, and he invited to participate in this new church they were starting. And he said, when I got Mark, I got his wife and kids. I got his brother Dave. I got the rest of his family. I got his kids and his friends' kids and his kids' friends and his friends' kids' friends' kid. And like one guy opened up this Pandora's box and all these people started coming in. Not every person has the same amount of influence as everyone else. And Jesus is saying, look for that key person that can just unlock all sorts of people. And again, with Zacchaeus, Matthew, and the Samaritan woman, these people, when Jesus found that fish, it didn't end there. Because those were fishing people. And they went out and got so many more. Mike Breen, author of Launching Missional Communities, and a guy who's really influenced my life in recent days, as he talks so much about what does it mean for the church to go to the people instead of the people going to church. He says, find the person of peace, the person who is open to you, interested in you, likes you, wants to be around you. Go to their turf where they're comfortable. Allow them to serve you, show you hospitality. Spend intentional time with them. Be ready to do the works of the kingdom and speak the words of the kingdom. Some of us think, oh, fishing, it's like boring or scary or nervous. Go have fun. Get out and just be with people. You like to fish? Go fishing. You like to play basketball? Go play basketball. You like to play chess? Go play chess. You like to ride bikes? Go ride bikes. You're a mom. You like to bake cookies? Bake some cookies and give me a couple. Whatever it is, whatever you love to do, like, just go love people. And ask God to show you who needs you, Jesus. Who need, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh, we have to go to like all these weird, strange people. I mean, maybe God will call you to some weird, strange people. But more often than not, God's just saying, find the people around you and just love on them, serve them, add value to their lives. Look for people to invest in that are receptive. He sends out to serve and bless and meet needs. He says, when you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there. Heal the sick who are there. Friends, first of all, Jesus still heals today. And we can pray for the sick and see them healed. Amen? I hate this notion that God's asleep. That the Holy Spirit's dead. Jesus is still in the business of healing. And I think we need to go out of our way sometimes and just say, hey, can I pray for you? You got a headache. Can I pray for you? My God heals. Can I pray for you? You know, I've asked people for years and years, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? I have never had one person say no to me. I've had people from other faiths say yes to me. I've had people far from God say yes to me. Every time I've asked, can I pray for you? People have said yes. That's not a guarantee that they'll always say yes to you. But take a risk. There are a few ways better to bless people than just say, hey, can I pray for you? Or how can I pray for you? Our mission statement includes the line that we serve our communities. Actions speak louder than words, especially in our culture today, where talk is so cheap. We're on a mission with words and deeds. And speaking of words, he sends us out to proclaim, declare the gospel of the kingdom and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, granted, it may sound weird to go up to someone in Starbucks and say, hey, the kingdom of God is near to you. We might want to change the language just slightly, fit it into their context a little bit, but to say, you know what? There is hope and meaning and purpose and joy. You are loved. You are created with value, dignity, and worth. There's a plan for your life. There's a king who wants to invite you into his kingdom so that you can experience what it means to be the child of a king. So you can live for something more. I always think about the old Switchfoot line from one of their albums. We were meant to live for so much more. And we were. We were meant to live for so much more than just a nicer car, a bigger house, more money in the bank account, winning that $500 million. Well, that would be nice. But, you guys know what I'm talking about? $500 million? Okay. I was hoping some of you would win it and then we could like support more missionaries around the world. Need to play to win, yeah. I digress. But he sends us out to proclaim in word and deed that there is more to life than the so-called American dream that seems to leave almost every person that achieves it miserable, discontent, depressed, and so often suicidal. Another part of our mission is sharing our story. It's God's story. It's both God's plan for all humanity as well as your story. Nobody can argue with your story. What's your story? People say, well, I can't talk to people about Jesus. I'm not a pastor. I don't know all those things. I don't know the Bible really well. Do you have a story? Do you know Christ? Tell your story. I don't know everything about Carl, but Carl's a good friend of mine. And I tell people, Carl, I got this great friend named Carl, and he's crazy for youth, and you know we play music together. And we all I don't know everything about Carl. Some might say, well, you know, what hospital was Carl born? I don't know. What hospital were you born? Somewhere. See, he doesn't even know. All right. Somewhere in Texas. I don't know anything about Carl, but I can tell people about Carl. I love Carl. He's my friend. And if there's something I don't know about my friend, I'll ask him. And maybe he'll have the right answer. I mean, today he doesn't. Go home, ask your mom, where are you born? Somewhere in Texas. There's no greater time of year than now to share your story, friends. This is really the time. Get out your two-word story t-shirts, your bumper stickers, whatever, because it's all coming back this year. It wasn't supposed to. We were supposed to be one and done. But the response was so incredible. So many people were saying, what's that two-word story thing? Hope, hope, what does that mean? Get it out, wear it, spread it. You're not going to be the only one. Beginning this week, two-word story, the whole thing starts up again. And this is the week where people start talking all about Jesus. There's no better time to share your story. And oh, by the way, invite them here next Sunday. You know, something like 80, 90% of people said they'd go to church if they were invited with a friend. In Ann Arbor, it's half that, but that's okay. The odds are still good. And there's no greater chance than you have the next Sunday. Because there are the creasters out there, the Christmas and Easter types, right? There's a really good possibility that if you invite someone to join you next Sunday, they'll be here. And they'll get to hear the truth. They'll get to hear the gospel, the good news. And I'll do my very best by God's power just to make it as clear and exciting as I possibly can. If Jesus has done nothing in your life, then why celebrate it? Maybe you're like, I don't have a story. Okay, well then, don't go fishing. Maybe you need to be caught. You need to be captivated by the power of God. You know, I don't celebrate Mexican independence on September 16th. I don't know if any of you do. I don't celebrate. It doesn't mean anything to me. I celebrate the 4th of July because that means something to me. That's changed my life. That's given me freedom and liberty. So, I mean, if the gospel hasn't taken root in your life, then don't worry about fishing. But if it has, if you have a story to tell, then by golly, you need to tell it. You need to celebrate it. The word gospel means good news, and we are to proclaim the good news that there is hope and freedom and life available to every man, woman, and child. You know, so many people say, oh, we're just all going to heaven because we're all good. And if that's really the case, friends, then Jesus was an idiot for dying. It was a total waste. If we all just go to heaven because we believe in the sky fairy or, you know, worship the trees or whatever, then Jesus was an idiot for bleeding and dying for us. He did it for a purpose, to give us life. Pastor Tim Keller says that the Greek term gospel distinguished the Christian message from that of all the other religions. An evangel was news of a great historical event, such as a victory in war or the ascension of a new king that changed the listener's condition and required a response from the listener. So the gospel is news of what God has done to reach us. It is not advice about what we must do to reach God. Celebrating Jesus' birthday on December 25th is great, but the real celebration occurs this week as we remember the greatest demonstration of passion and love on the cross, as we celebrate it already with communion. Our risen Lord, Savior, and King. And every kingdom has a king. The subjects dutifully serve the king and obey whatever he says. Most kings are tyrants. They're evil. They rule out of fear. But our king is benevolent, and he rules with love. And I can't think of any better way for us to close this morning than to have the band come up and us to just reprise one more time this song, "You Are My King." And maybe you didn't know it last time. Maybe you hadn't heard it before. Maybe you're learning the words. This is your opportunity to sing it again. But more than just singing the tune and going through the words, I want you to think about this as a prayer this morning. If Jesus is really your King, He's called you to go make disciples. He's called you to go fish. And this week is maybe the greatest week of the year to grab our poles, to get on our knees, to open our mouths, to serve with our hands, and obey our great King. Please stand.